Afghanistan is the only country in this century the women can't go to school, they can't go work, they can't go outside, they can't go in the park.
Afghan women need for an urgent plan, and they need for that to save their fundamental rights now.
Welcome to this IBA Global Insight podcast. I'm Alice Johnson, IBA multimedia journalist. The Taliban seized power in 2021 in dramatic fashion, with Western military forces present for some 20 years, withdrawing and effectively abandoning the country. Since then, they have brought in sweeping changes in an effort to follow their interpretation of strict Sharia law, with particular impact on women and girls. Relations with much of the international community have deteriorated. In early 2025, the International Criminal Court applied for arrest warrants against Taliban leaders for the crime against humanity of persecution on gender grounds, following investigations. Afghanistan then withdrew from the ICC. Efforts are also underway for countries to file a case with the International Court of Justice for Afghanistan's alleged contravention of the UN Convention on Elimination of All Forms of Discrimination Against Women. In this podcast, Richard Bennett, UN Special Rapporteur on Afghanistan, Fawzia Amini, a former Afghan Supreme Court judge, now in the UK, and Tamana Pariani, an Afghan women's rights activist in exile in Germany, give their thoughts on the issues. Tamana Pariani and Fawzia Amini discuss life and work pre-2021 and the devastating impact of the Taliban seizing power.
It was not so much perfect life before the Taliban also, because women had a lot of problems in Afghanistan. But the women can go to school, they had work, they had a little freedom to have normal life, and they had choice to work in the government or many things. I was in university and in political science, and we had one social and cultural organization. We worked with other my classmates in the university, and also I worked in a newspaper. Then we lost everything.
As a judge in the Supreme Court, we guided the judicial procedure and judicial guidance to all the courts in Afghanistan. Also, I was representative of the Supreme Court in the Ministry of Justice and the Ministry of Foreign Affairs. I had active role as a organizing policies for women in the Supreme Court also. I was a representative of the Supreme Court in the Ministry of Women Affairs when the Taliban took over all country and they came to the Kabul and other center of provinces. The dominance of the Taliban caused the destruction of Afghanistan judicial system, and they destroyed all our achievement or all good point which we against with during 20 years. The Taliban released all the criminals without any classification or without any reason. They just released from the personnel, and they, as you know, that the lives of judges, prosecutors, lawyers were endangered and had work on that time. So they were chased, threatened, and even killed, specifically women judges, prosecutors and lawyers. All the judges lost their duties, as you know, on that time. Just stop the work, and no one can go out and work as a judge and as a prosecutor or as a lawyer. All laws were declared abolished by the Taliban on that time, you know, which laws we worked maybe for a long time, has an elimination of violence against women, has a family law, has a child custody law, also has a that was for shelters or safe houses law. With the arrival of the Taliban, I want to say that personally faced many problems. Most importantly, our lives were in danger every moment. Every moment we just thought the killing has. And my daughters and my family all just worried about that, maybe they losing their mom. I completely lost my hope. On that time, I lost all fundamental rights.
The concept of gender apartheid in Afghanistan has gained traction since the takeover. Richard Bennett, the UN Special Rapporteur in Afghanistan, explains.
They've really signalled a massive change in the rule of law. One of the other things they've done is to seriously repress and oppress women and girls. And perhaps the best known is that soon after they took over, they closed schools for girls above primary, so above sixth grade. And later they closed universities for women. And they've imposed many other oppressive requirements on women and girls in the name of Islamic Sharia, which many other Afghans and non-Afghan Muslims disagree with, which includes, for example, the requirement to have a complete hijab, completely cover the body and face of a woman, and for any woman to travel to have to be accompanied by a male relative known as a mara. And the notion, the concept of gender apartheid was first developed by Afghan women in the late 1990s because they felt that this idea, this description best characterizes their own experience because it's powerful and it goes beyond mere discrimination. I mean, there is gender discrimination in every country and it varies, but this is a super high threshold, but there's an analysis which Afghan women have and which I have together with others that we think that the threshold is passed in Afghanistan and that it should propel discussion of its inclusion in a crimes against humanity treaty.
If we're looking for an international law to codify gender apartheid as a crime, it's take a time, and at least we need for 2-3 years. And Afghan women need for an urgent plan, and they need for that to save their fundamental rights now.
Tamana Pariani fled to Germany in 2022, where she campaigns for women in Afghanistan.
I think we have a little security and we have place to raise our voice. I think it is most important for me because when I arrived here, I start my protests, create the campaign to stop gender apartheid. I hope one day Afghanistan became a good place for the all women and they can have a good life like human and they have this justice and freedom that is we don't have now. Afghanistan is the only country in this century the women can't go to school, they can't go work, they can't go outside, they can't go in the park. I think it is important because inside of Afghanistan, the people, especially the women, they can't talk. No one can talk against the Taliban because we talk against them and we was in prison. So a lot of people still, thousands of people are in the prison.
International relations are strained. Richard Bennett considers the obstacles, potential solutions and rapporteur recommendations.
Their caveat for pretty much everything is that it must be in conformity with Islamic Sharia as they interpret it, which is not necessarily the same as others interpret it. So that creates a big gap and concern, especially, for example, when it comes to rights of women and girls. And so it's very difficult to deal with and negotiate with an entity that has that kind of view. So at the beginning, they were talking to me and allowing me to visit, and I was making reports. And over time, they've increasingly rejected those reports. And then recently, they said that they will not give me a visa to visit. That does not stop collecting human rights information because thanks to modern technology and modern methods, we are able to reach people and to collect information, including directly from Afghanistan, using a lot of different technologies. But I think the first step is to try to understand what will move the needle, what kinds of both carrots and sticks, that is, incentives and sanctions, might move the Taliban. And I don't think that that analysis has been completed very effectively so far. There is already some pressure in that the Taliban has been excluded from the international banking system. There's a lot also of hope that countries in the region, particularly Muslim majority countries, will have more influence, more sway over the Taliban than perhaps those in the West or non-Muslim. To the Taliban, I've recommended in some detail, but just to summarize it, that they take immediate steps to dismantle their institutionalized system of gender oppression that deprives women and girls of their rights and fundamental freedoms. And this includes revoking laws, re-establishing equal, inclusive, and equitable access to quality and comprehensive education, and so on. I think that member states need to be more focused, more cohesive. And so I recommended them to urgently adopt a comprehensive action plan to address the human rights, humanitarian, and political crisis in Afghanistan, which should include clearly defined human rights benchmarks for the Taliban, timelines for implementation, and the bodies responsible for monitoring and reporting on progress. And I've also said that the international community should ensure that any normalization of engagement with the de facto authorities is based on demonstrated, measurable, and independently verified improvements in human rights, in particular for women and girls, assessed against clearly established human rights benchmarks.